Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today is the Old Testament reading from Genesis 12. I'm going to read again verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Go." Is there any word in the English language which is more action-oriented than the word go? Maybe your parents are trying to get your kids ready for school in the morning. Let's go! That's what you say. That's what I say. That's what my mom said. Let's go! Maybe you heard it from another member of your family today. Let's go! We got to get to church. It's an hour earlier today. Let's go. We don't want to be late. Well, here, God speaks to Abram and says, go. Well, what's the background for this event? This is 21 centuries before Jesus Christ. Here we are 21 centuries after Jesus. Well, 21 centuries before, we have a man named Abram, before God changed his name to Abraham. And his wife, Sarai, before God changed her name to Sarah. And what do we know about Sarai? Well, she was barren. She had no child. That's how she's introduced in Genesis 11. And in Genesis 11, the chapter before this, we hear that Abram is from the town of, not Buffalo, the town of Ur of the Chaldees in southern Mesopotamia. And he lives there with his wife, his father, his brother, whose name is Haran, and his nephew Lot. And this little clan moves up the Euphrates River to this land called Haran in what's now southern Turkey, and they stop there. According to Joshua, in the book of Joshua, Abram at this time didn't believe in God. He was an idolater. He believed in idols. You see, in Ur of the Chaldees, they believed in the moon god. You know what the name of the moon god was? Sin. Sin. Well, God takes Abram and comes and speaks to him, and he says, go. Go out of your country. Go away from your kindred, from your father's house, from your own country. Go. Go to the land that I will cause you to see. Go. In Hebrew, the phrase here is lek lecha. It's Hebrew for go or walk. Literally, because everybody went in those days, the only way you went anywhere, unless you were rich enough to have an animal, was to walk. Lek lecha, walk, get going. So when we say, Lord, help us walk in the ways of the Lord, let us walk in your ways to your glory, we're saying the same thing. Walk, go. And if you want a very literal translation of lek lecha, of this Hebrew phrase, it's, with regard to you, get walking. With regard to you. And God uses this only two times in the Old Testament with respect to Abram. Here, in Genesis 12, and then the very last time we hear about Abram, that God speaks to him. So God calls up Abraham in person and says, lek lecha. Get going. Well, what about us? Abram had to give up something. He had to give up his country and his homeland and even his father's house. And when you and I walk with God, we have to give something up too. And in Lent, sometimes you hear about people giving something up for Lent. I don't know if you're giving up something for Lent. If you are, great. great. If you're not, great. As a baptized Christian, you're free to do worship God in purity and holiness, but you're not required to give something up for Lent. Because sometimes, even the act of doing that becomes its own idol. Some people feel that the good way to do it, I guess, is if you to draw yourself closer to Christ on the cross during Lent, you're going to give something up. The bad way is to make an idol out of it. Well, some people give up something like fatty foods or sugar or Diet Coke for Lent. Maybe it's a reminder of Christ, and then it's a good thing. Or maybe you want to give up a bad habit that you have, a bad habit that you'd like to break. Maybe it's a sin, your favorite sin. That would be a good thing to give up for Lent. Maybe it's an addiction to sin that you have, that you struggle with. Or maybe it's, this is probably the most effective, something that tempts you, that puts you in the situation where you sin. Maybe you want to give up your deepest fear for Lent. Or about, how about a grudge? That would be a good thing to give up for Lent. See, a grudge comes from something that you can't forgive. As you did forgive me earlier, that was maybe a little easier. But sometimes, when someone sins against you, it hurts you. If you've ever been bullied or taunted at school or at work, it doesn't just leave you. It hurts. You feel like you've been betrayed. And it feels like you're unwanted. You're not good enough, or for them, I guess. And that hurt starts to gnaw at you. It causes you to resent that person. I can't forgive them. I can't forgive them that. Or even if I say I do, I still have that hurt in me. Pastor, I still have that hurt in me and I can't forgive them. And I really don't want to either. It hurts me. It gnaws at me. And that hurt has attached itself to my heart like a leech that's sucking the life out of me. It hurts. And I can't give it up. I'm not going to give it up. And I'm not going to forgive. And that sin or that hurt, well, Lord, or pastor, or husband, or wife, well, that hurt from that person, and maybe that's you, that's what causes me to sin too. That's what causes me to do this evil behavior that I know is wrong, but I do it to cope with this hurt that I have. I do it to cope with this betrayal that I feel. That's idolatry. Where you make your own hurt an idol that you refuse to give up. That's the power of sin. And I don't mean the moon god. You see, sin grabs you. It ensnares you. It grabs a hold of you and won't let go. It drives its claws into you to tear you away from God, and it sucks the life out of you. It controls you, and it begins to devour you. That's the situation that Abram was in. Whether it's the moon god, sin, or wealth, or reputation, or some kind of unforgiven vengeance and grudge, Abram was ensnared. In fact, he was clinging to his idols, just as you and I do. Clinging. I'll tell you a story about clinging. 50 years ago, when I was 4, my sister, who was a year older, went off to kindergarten. And she walked. Go. Lek-lek-ha. Go. Walk to kindergarten. It wasn't that far away. About a block and a half. My mom walked with her. Just like God walks with us in our faith life, right? Well, fine. There was a neighbor girl. Her name was Holly. It was the first day of kindergarten for Holly, too. But she didn't want to go. She didn't want to walk to school. And I will never forget this picture that I have of Holly in my mind, because she grabbed onto the fence post with both hands. You know, that kind of death grip that kids get? And she wrapped her legs around the fence post, you know? She did not want to go to kindergarten. And I remember thinking, what does she know about kindergarten? And I don't know. Maybe I don't want to go next year. And then, get this picture in your mind. Her mother comes and peels her off the fence, right? Finger by finger by finger, you know, and takes her to kindergarten. That's how she went to kindergarten. That's how we cling to our idols. That's how we cling to our grudges. And sometimes, that's how we cling to the things that have hurt us. They become part of us. We won't let go. That is how I imagine God pried Abram finger by finger by finger away from his idols. Go. As far as you're concerned, go. Go from your country. Go from your kindred. Go from your father's house. Go to the place I will show you. And then God gave something to Abraham to cling to. He gave him a promise. He said, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing to other people. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. A sevenfold promise to cling to. You've got 3 fingers left. A promise. Now you might say, well, Pastor, that's kind of a vague promise. Go to the land, I'll show you. Well, yeah, that is vague. God makes it more specific and more clear as time goes on. As time grows towards the fulfillment of the promise, it becomes more and more specific. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. He doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know how he's going to get there, but he knows the Lord is going with him. Commentators say, when he gets to the land here of Canaan, there was this pagan shrine at the oak at Moreh that our Old Testament reading talked about. A pagan shrine, more idols. If you think in this life you're going to go through kindergarten after getting rid of that first fence post, there's going to be more fence posts. There's going to be more things to cling to. There's going to be things in your life that are going to hurt, and you're going to want to cling to them. There's going to be sins in your life that you're going to want to cling to. Bad habits, we call them. Temptations to unbelief. There's lots of those. But the Lord doesn't give up on you. And He didn't give up on Abram. He brings them to the promised land, or what's going to be the promised land. And He says to Abram, here it is. This is the land that I will give to your offspring. Notice He doesn't say, I'm going to give it to you. Because that's not the way God works. He's got a plan. He knows what it is. And our impatience, I want it now, Lord. Why don't you give me the land right now, and I'll give it to my offspring. No, He says, I will give it to your offspring, your seed, Abram. And Abram says, look, Lord, I'm childless. Sarai is barren. She's never going to have a child. Well, the Lord can deal with that. And He does. He gives Abram and Sarah a child. But before that, He gives Abraham a promise. And He says, you see the stars in the sky? So shall your offspring be that numerous. Count them if you can. That's how much I'm going to bless you. Today's epistle reading, Paul quotes Genesis 15. In this episode, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Eventually, old and barren Sarai conceives and bears a son. They call him Isaac. And the descendants of Isaac become a great nation, Israel, more than the stars in the sky. And Joshua leads these descendants of Abraham and Isaac into the promised land of Canaan to possess the land just as God promised. And Abraham becomes a blessing, both in his time and ever since. And just as God promised, Abraham blesses all the families of the earth through the descendant, the seed of Abraham, the one, Jesus Christ. Descendant of Abraham and descendant of Isaac. 21 centuries later. 21 centuries before us. Jesus is the one who fulfills all these promises. All of them. Promises for Abraham and promises for us. All of God's promises in the Old Testament point to Jesus, the one who gave Himself for us. Christ is the ultimate heir and inheritance for us of the promises given to Abram. And the promises that He gives to us, just as the promises that He gave to Abram, are promises received in faith. That's what a promise is. It evokes trust. You trust in a promise. He invites you to trust in His promise. He invites you to trust in His forgiveness. Not in what you do. Not in what you give up for Lent or don't give up for Lent. Simply by faith. promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace. I mentioned there was one other time when God said, Lech Lecha, to Abraham. It's the last time that God speaks to Abraham personally. At least that's recorded in the Bible. He says, as far as it concerns you, go to the mountain that I will show you. It's when God tells Abraham to take his only beloved son, Isaac, to that same mountain, Mount Moriah, that Jesus goes to. When Abraham took Isaac there, the Lord said to Abraham, Spare your son. When God sent Jesus to that same Moriah in Jerusalem, he did not spare his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that you may not perish but have eternal life. Life for you through Jesus Christ. Now you are children of God through Jesus Christ. So my message for you, dear Christians, today, so far as you are concerned, walk with God. He loves you. He gave his son to die for you. And know this, know that you can let go of your idols. You can let go of that pain that is in your heart that has been there as long as you can remember. You can let go of that hurt or that guilt or that betrayal and that anger that consumes your heart. It doesn't have to be that way. That's what Christ took with him to the cross for you. Just let go of it. Know that Christ has nailed it to the cross for you. Know that you are forgiven and you can go and forgive others for even those hard things as easily as you forgave me this morning. You can do it. You can do it through Christ. Knowing that God has given you your salvation through Jesus Christ, you can go and share that with others. Can do it simply by getting up on Sunday morning and going with your family to church. You can do it by sharing God's word with someone and discipling them, bringing up your children or your grandchildren to know God, to know that he is there to give his promise of life to you for eternity. You can do it by going to the altar today to receive his forgiveness given to you in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. God grants all of this to us because of Jesus. Amen.